Our Lord and God, we come before you thanking you for your Son. We worship him and lift him up, the one whose name is above every name. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask your guidance in this message today. In Christ's name, amen. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 4 still, as we're looking at the chapter on doctrine, comparing bad doctrine and healthy doctrine, good doctrine. And today we finally get into a section that's on the positive end. We've looked at that which is profitable, yet mainly a warning section in the previous days. But as today we are in verse 6. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So here, we could also render the beginning of verse 6, these things setting before the brethren in remembrance of these. I may have put that together, but you understand what the point is, I hope, that we set these things, is what Paul's telling Timothy, we set these things before the brethren so that they would be able to be reminded of what is right in the sight of the Lord. We see here as Paul has set before Timothy soundness. Soundness in chapter 1 as he gave his testimony. And we see soundness there as in chapter 2 of the order of the assembly with prayer and women's role in the assembly. In chapter 3, we see soundness of doctrine as he tells of us understanding what is the oversight and also the deacons. And then the person of Christ in verse 16 of chapter 3. And then soundness, we see what that which we are warned against in the latter times of those departing from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Now in verse 6, he's moving on into what we need to hold to, which is good doctrine. And we could call this the area of nourishment. Nourishment is verse 6 speaks of. Speaking of being nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, or that is, whereunto thou hast followed fully. That is the desire, we pray, of the believer in Christ, that we would follow fully that which we know. You know, many ones would profess Christ, yet then their life is not evident of knowing him. A true child of God should look to by the power of God, by his word, by the Spirit of God leading them to follow fully that good doctrine. And if you're not around a place that is teaching solid, fundamental, good doctrine, healthy doctrine from the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth, I would encourage you to pray that the Lord would show you where you can be around the Word of God systematically being taught. You know, one brother told me before, we need to read the Word of God to know where things are and what it says, but we must study that word to know what it means. We must learn to compare scripture with scripture and properly cross-reference the scriptures and to be able to see how the word of God works together in its entirety as God breathes scripture and see the overall picture of what God has. It's also been stated that the chief end of man is to glorify God, and we that know him, that should be our attitude. That we should be here not just passing time until the Lord takes us on, but we're here as one that are pilgrims and strangers. This earth is not our home. Heaven is our home. So we're here as long as the Lord has something for us. He will take us off the scene in his appointed time, whether by death or by the being caught up by the rapture. But we know that there is a purpose for us as believers to serve him in some way. So let us fully follow that which is of faith and of good doctrine, as Paul encourages Timothy to be nourished up in these words. Now, let's think a little bit along this area of nourishment, verses 6 to 11. We see here, verse 7, we see a discerning appetite. Then we see in verse 8, a strenuous exercise, being profitable for thee as well. Then we move down after we we've seen a discerning appetite and strenuous exercise. We also then can see an exhortation of the gospel in verse 9 and 10, where we see that the gospel is the foundation of good doctrine. Be strong. Be strong. An exhortation repeated throughout the scripture. We see how Joshua was told in chapter 1 of Joshua, be strong. We see in Haggai to the leaders and the people to be strong. To be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be strong. The end of that epistle. And then in Ephesians 5 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong. So to be strong, we must have nourishment. We must be built up in the things of Christ. If you remember when we studied last year in our study in Colossians, some at times it's called the twin epistle to Ephesians, as our brother Mark just finished, we think there of holding to the head, the scripture says in 2:19 of Colossians, speaking of Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increased with the increase of God. So let us hold to the head. Christ is the only head of the church. Speaking of the universal church, and if it's a church, a local church that is holding to the Word of God, then He will be the head of your local church. There are shepherds in the meeting, as we saw in chapter 3, but Christ is the head of the church. So He's the one that nourishes the rest of the body. So when we see being nourished up in words of faith and of good doctrine, we need to yield to Christ as being the head. That is where the nourishment comes from. And we see good doctrine thereof. But in verse 7, notice there a discerning appetite. But refuse, it says, profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We know how that ones can get on endless genealogies and things that are unprofitable and unprofitable questions about strife and contentions. But we need to refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now when we think of this, let us think of verse 8, a strenuous set of exercise. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now, when we think of bodily exercise, I'd ask you, how many people out there are of a great physical stature? Or you're a great physical specimen, but you may be as a child, spiritually. My friend, physical exercise, bodily exercise, bodily training here, we see, profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things. My friend, when you leave this earth, your physical specimen, no matter how physically well-conditioned you are, when you leave this earth, as I read a quote just the other day, the great one that was a leader in centuries ago, the Alexander the Great, mentioned that he wanted his hands to be shown open when he died. You know, the point was this, that we bring nothing into this world and we'll take nothing out. So our physical health is fine. It's good to exercise. It's good to be a good steward of the body that the Lord has given us as Christians. We want to be healthy so that we can serve the Lord in the fullest capacity that He's given us, yes. I'm not knocking exercise. We need to be good and have a good, be good stewards of this body, but we need to exercise unto godliness. The soul and its health means far more. So when we say strenuous exercise, we need to be strenuous in the Word. We need to be able to get to the meat of the Word of God. You know, today people want to be on milk and cookies. Another comment I read of how people want to be on the pastries. Today. They want to be on the dessert spiritually. They want all these how-to books. They want all these books on psychology and all these books on just novels and so-called Christian novels. Well, occasionally you might find something okay. But we need to be in the meat of the Word of God. For if we're not eating the meat and potatoes of the Word of God, if we're sitting there always desiring the milk and cookies, the how-to books and things like this that hardly even quote Scripture, we will be babes in Christ. For we need to exercise ourselves strenuously. We need to dig into the Word of God. And this is what is healthy. This is what builds us up unto words of faith and of good doctrine. Whereunto, as Paul encouraged Timothy, thou hast fully followed or thou hast attained. My friend, as we encourage you in that, we would say first, do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him? And as we ask that question, we look at verse 8 still, where it says, speaking of godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. My friend, what is your eternal destiny? Verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now remember, there's 5 faithful sayings or true sayings in the pastoral epistles. And it speaks here of, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust, speaking of the believers, we have trusted in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now we see here the gospel. When we speak of words of faith and of good doctrine, the foundation of good doctrine is, do you know him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior? For until you know him and are of the family of God, until then, doctrine will not be of clear understanding to you. We need to know him as our Savior first. This is the foundation of good doctrine. As it says, we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. We see that he has given himself a ransom for many. We know back there in John chapter 12 that he says in verse 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We see here that he gives all men, all people, the opportunity to be saved. Each person is drawn unto him, yet one will resist. Have you received and not resisted the drawing of God? He says he's the Savior of all men, but note this, especially or particularly of those that believe. Let us just close with Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we close today's message asking that you would work by your Spirit upon any soul that knows thee not. We pray for the believers listening that they may be exercised unto godliness. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.